Dogs and Legends. It's your boy Art Dog here with your homeboy.
Hey, what do you think of the coming your way? How's it going, ladies and gentlemen?
We are back once again.
Woo!
What an exciting, exciting evening. Just gotta let y'all know, you know how it go. But we are back with another week of wrestling, and it has been an exciting week, of course. I know we shitted on the WWE last week for giving us real lackluster product and rematches and, like, doing the WWE thing, and some of us is fed up with it. And every time they throw us one of these things where we're like, I'm about to get done with it, they hit us with the worm on the reel and reel us back in.
They tried it in Survivor Series last night. They tried it. They had a couple good ones.
They gave us what Matt likes to deem a crap sandwich.
I coined that phrase last night because they start with one of the best matches we're all looking forward to, Charlotte and Becky. And then they end with Roman and Big E.
Something
another match that I'm really looking forward to. And in between, we get all the stuff that just hit or miss. You know, could have gone either way last night.
A lot of misses, but I digress. We'll get into Survivor Series a little bit later in the show. Give you guys something to look forward to. Right now, let's jump into Turning Point 2021. Impact had a pay-per-view over the weekend, and Turning Point was a nice little build, and it was actually pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Another one that was that could have been hit or miss. You know what I'm saying? Because there was a lot of different things going on with kind of first timers, with Mercedes Martinez getting her debut in. We're getting the first title defense of the Inspiration. But yeah, it was a lot of first timers, but it was pretty good. It kicked off with Ace Austin and Chris Sabin.
If we don't talk about the pre-show matches, yeah, that was the first match on the main card. But I want to
get into the pre-show.
Pre-show matches, right? First match on the card was Finn Juice versus Raj Singh and Rahit Raju.
Rajan Singh.
Yeah, Finn Juice kind of had to pick up the momentum here.
Yeah, they've been losing a lot.
Yeah, they've been losing for the last couple weeks. You know, they were in the tag team title mix, and then they lost, and then they tried to get back in the mix, and they couldn't do it. And so, you know, they kind of needed this win, and they got it with this win at on
new
the pre-show.
New mascot knocking at the door. Introduced the audience to Mickey. Because she's the new downstairs dog. Go ahead, let them know.
And then the other match on pre-show was Jordynne Grace and Chelsea Green for the Impact Digital Media Championship. I really like this match, and I'm really starting to dig this championship. You know, like I said.
Right, this intergender title.
Intergender thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Jordynne Grace is the perfect person to carry this thing for now. You know, I think that Impact's, you know, kind of trying to introduce this title.
Yeah, and she's a perfect fit for the intergender wrestling because she looks like she can beat up either a man or a woman.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I feel like Jordynne Grace is a perfect person to get this title on the map and really get some steam behind it because man or woman, you're going to have a difficult time when you're faced with Jordynne Grace.
That's a fact. You know what I'm saying? If y'all don't follow her on Twitter, y'all need to see her on Twitter. It's Trisha Parker, I'm telling you.
She goes.
You know what I'm saying?
But Jordynne Grace gets a W.
Yeah, and that's a little bit surprising considering the role that Chelsea Green has been on in Impact.
Yeah, Chelsea Green's definitely been on a big run. I'm looking forward to seeing her get her shot at the Knockouts title. She hasn't gotten that yet.
Yeah, but she got to wait, baby.
Yeah, she got to wait. We'll get into that later.
She got to wait, baby.
All right, first match on the card was Chris Sabin and Ace Austin. I enjoyed this match. You know, Chris Sabin's a vet, and he can still go. Ace Austin's an up-and-comer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something about this feud, though, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. is Ace Austin. He was after he beat Chris Sabin on one of these episodes of Impact, he starts walking out with this "I beat Chris Sabin" shirt. You know, I don't know. It's kind of a douchey, in my opinion.
Maybe they're trying to make it seem like Chris Sabin is such an important figure in Impact that beating him means a whole lot.
I mean, it's not like it was the biggest win of Ace Austin's career. Ace Austin's a former X Division champion.
Yeah, but has he ever beat Chris Sabin?
I just, you know, feel like, you know, it kind of came off as a, you know, this is my first really big win, notice me, look at me kind of thing. You know, it's like, act like you've been here before, my brother.
Right, something that Austin Theory would be doing right now.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Instead of what Ace Austin seems like a veteran at this point.
Well, like I said, Ace Austin, I've said this on the show a million times, Ace Austin is a really good young talent. Like, he's everything that Impact should be pushing right now. He's young, he's athletic, he's exciting. He's got a good look to him. He's good on the microphone. Like, he's a star.
What Simon Miller, shout out to Simon Miller from What Culture, what he described him as is a younger version of Chris Sabin.
Right, I feel
he's
that.
Like it was like a mirror wrestling each other.
Yeah.
If one of those mirrors was 20 years younger.
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely, you know what I mean? Do.
But I feel like Chris Sabin necessarily didn't need the win, even though he did get it. Ace Austin is, like what you said, what Impact should be kind of pushing to the forefront if they want the younger generation to kind of feel what everybody's feeling, how NXT felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just don't think the t-shirt was a very good look for him.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little marky.
Yeah. And then the next match was Violent by Design, Eric Young and Joe Doring. And Heath Slater and Rhino. I'm excited to see Heath back. I missed him.
Heath and Rhino.
Sorry, I don't go by Slater anymore. Yeah. Like I said, I miss Heath. He's always entertained me on the microphone. He's not half bad in the ring.
He got whooped a lot in that match,
too. Yeah, he did. This is also Eric Young's first match back from being injured. You know, so it's kind of good to see Violent by Design as a whole unit again. You know, so I enjoyed this match. Violent by Design gets the W.
Yep.
Next match was...
Which is kind of weird, dude, though.
Why?
Because with Violent by Design, like, all right, so this storyline has been going on for a while. You know what I'm saying? They had to bring it back after Heath got injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But kudos to them on bringing it back around and not letting it just dwindle away.
Yeah.
But I feel like Heath and Rhino should have won, so they could have moved on to another thing, so they could kind of go after the tag titles or something. Now this feud's going to seem like it's going to be going on still.
I'm about to say, this ain't over.
Yeah, it's going to be going on still, but as much time has passed with him being injured.
I mean, I can watch this go on for a little while longer, only because, you know, it's not like the Heath Slater, Heath and Rhino were wrestling matches against Violent by Design. You know, when he got injured and Rhino joined them, you know, the story's there.
Yeah, it's there.
You know,
I'm just saying.
I could just feel.
The audience slipping away with the story. You know what I mean? If you're not into wrestling storylines, then the story will get away from you.
All right. Yeah, I get that. All right, next was Rich Swann and VSK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which it was supposed, to be Brian Myers.
Yeah, Brian Myers. They said he was injured or something. But Brian Myers pretty much kicked Sam Beal out from underneath the learning tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what brought this match on. Rich Swann took up for Sam Beal after Brian Myers attacked him. And I would have preferred this match if, you know, Brian Myers was in it, obviously. This is the match, you know, that was advertised. And it's the match that I was wanting to see. But they got to go with what they can, obviously. And it was still a good match. Rich Swann gets the W. W. Morrissey and Matt Cardona was next.
Matt Cardona was getting smashed. But, I mean, he had his little flurries here and there, but he was getting smashed, bro. W. Morrissey was clapping this guy. I mean, I watched some highlights where he was just swinging him by the legs against the steps and stuff. He was like, I mean, but it's just Matt Cardona is being set up to take the title off of Moose.
You think so?
I feel, I mean, why is him and Moose still beefing?
I mean, it could be that, you know, Moose looks out for W. Morrissey.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that they are running together, and it's making it seem like with Moose and W. Morrissey as partners that they're pretty much unstoppable. And it's working. Mm-hmm. It's working. But, like I said, it seems like, you know, he's been beefing with Moose a little bit longer than they've been together.
Yeah. And I could definitely see why you would say that, and it definitely looks like that they might be leaning towards Matt Cardona getting a shot at Moose somewhere down the line, because Moose did cost Matt Cardona this win.
He did.
Which keeps them running together and everything.
Because Matt Cardona hits the radio silence, ref's knocked out, Moose comes in, hits him with the spear, W. Morrissey gets the pin. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's they've been beefing and it's there.
Yeah, it's something else I want to bring up about Matt Cardona.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's I've never seen this before. It's like one wrestler plays two completely different characters at the same time. You know, it's like they're in different companies though, but it's the same time period.
Right, it's GCW. He's this huge heel, and in Impact, he's his face.
Like, in GCW, he gets the heelest heel reactions you've ever seen. They throw debris at this man. They throw glass at this man right here. And in Impact, he's a face. You know, and obviously, Matt Cardona's a good face. But I would like to see more of what they see in GCW in Impact, you know, if they let him. Like, I can't believe Matt Cardona taking the title off Moose if that was the direction that they went.
I can see it.
Something I never noticed, something I never seen before. One wrestler play two different characters at the same time.
Should show you how genius they is and how WWE dropped the ball.
Yeah. All right, next is The Inspiration and Decay. Big fan of The Inspiration. I think that they're great. And, you know, obviously, this, in my opinion, this Knockouts division, the tag team division, was kind of tailor made for them. I was just hoping and praying that they would make their way there.
I'm just missing one match that we're probably never going to get.
The match itself was pretty one-sided, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you
know, Decay was smashing.
Decay went in there, pretty much steamrolled over them, and, but, you know, they had the theatrics, you know, they played the scared part.
But we know what The Inspiration does. The Inspiration is not going to out-strength you or nothing like that. They're always going to outsmart you.
Yeah.
That's what The Inspiration is all about. That's what they've been doing their whole career.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. And, you know, they did have their moments. You know, they got their tag team moments off. You know, they do work really well together. And they get the W, the roll-up. I think Cassie Lee had the roll-up. And Jessie McKay's got her feet behind the ref's back.
She puts her feet on the ropes, and Jessie holds her feet down.
Yeah, and they get the 1-2-3. I'm not exactly sure who's going to be next for them. With Jordynne Grace holding the digital media title, I don't think it's going to be her and Rachel Ullering.
You know, we're never going to get the match that I want, which is Fire and Flavor.
Yeah. Because
that's over.
I was hoping for that one, but, you know, Kiera Hogan's
gone. She's in Impact and in NWA.
Yeah, I don't know who's next for The Inspiration. I don't know if the K's going to get another shot at them. You know, they have the influence, you know, that's Tennille Dashwood and Madison Rayne, but they're two heel tag teams. I don't know how that's going to work. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not like their division is that deep.
Yeah, it's not very deep. All right, so next was the X Division 3-way match. Trey Miguel and Laredo Kid and Steve Macklin. It was what you expect out of an X Division match. Right. You know, I enjoyed it.
I really thought that Macklin was, you know, because they're really pushing this guy, kind
of. That's the thing that's kind of raising a little bit of a red flag with me. Because I remember saying this about Braun Strowman, you know, you give him so many protected finishes, and then eventually you get to the point where it's like, okay, great, it takes this, that, and the third. You know, he lost because of this, that, and the third, but when's he going to win?
Exactly. You know? He's just losing and losing and losing, and there is no payoff yet.
Macklin has had at least 3 opportunities to become X Division champion since Bound for Glory. He was in the match at Bound for Glory, and then he loses a number one contenders match. Well, he didn't get pinned, but he loses to Laredo Kid, and he beats Laredo Kid to get into the match. And then the match ends with Macklin hitting Laredo Kid for Mayhem for all.
Yeah, and then Trey Miguel comes off the top with the Meteora, and then everybody gets in the pin, but as soon as he's about to count the 3, Macklin gets his shoulder up and Laredo Kid doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, even Trey Miguel seemed kind of confused by that. He thought he had them both, and Macklin could still say, I've never been pinned here. And I think that eventually it will come down to a one-on-one
but
between those.
You know what my problem with it is? If the pin was the way it was, Macklin was pretty much on top. If he gets the shoulder up, isn't he pinning Laredo Kid too?
I don't know. I didn't see it that way. I saw Trey Miguel pinning them both. You know, both their shoulders are on the ground. Trey Miguel sitting on top of both of them, and then Macklin gets one of his shoulders up, and Trey Miguel, and then Laredo Kid keeps both his shoulders down. I mean, it's an interesting
feud,
and I'm sure that their match is going to be great. It's just...
it's weird.
Eventually, something's going to have to give here. Either you're going to have to put the title on him, or...
stop giving him shots.
He's going to have to lose. You know, he's going to have to lose. Eventually, or he's going to get the title. At least in my opinion, anyways. Right, and next match was Mickie James and Mercedes Martinez for the Impact Knockouts Championships. And this is just something I'm going to have to get used to.
Yeah.
Knockouts title and not seeing Deonna Purrazzo.
Yep.
Because, you know, it was a little off for me at first. You know, because this is the first time.
This is the first title match.
Since Slammiversary 2020, where Deonna Purrazzo was not involved in the Knockouts title match.
And the title match, period.
Yeah. You know, but it was a good match between Mickie James and Mercedes Martinez.
Hard hitting.
Obviously.
Yeah, hard hitting. German suplex off the top was dope.
Mm-hmm.
Mickie went for the DDT a whole bunch, but she finally got the 3 count. And then Deonna Purrazzo comes back.
Yeah, at the end, you know, says that they're going to go at it hard to kill. Deonna Purrazzo and Mickie James. I got to hope that she gets that title back. That's my hope, anyways.
And on top of that, we're going to have the first ever Women's Ultimate X.
I'm looking forward to this. I think that's
crazy.
I think that the roster is deep enough and talented enough to where they should be able to pull this match off. And I'm just going to enjoy watching it. You know?
I'm sorry, dude.
I have high hopes.
I don't have high hopes for this. This could... okay, here we go. This could be amazing. Or it could be a disaster. All depending on who's in this match and how they're able to get this title.
Yeah, you know, picking the right people to be in the match is obviously key.
That's going to be super important.
Should be job one. No, but like I said, a lot of them are athletic enough to where they should be able to do this. I mean, Jordan Grace has been in the Ultimate X match before.
I'm just saying, I believe in them. I do. But it's going to be based on who's in this match and the chemistry they have, whether this match is going to be good or bad. But I think it's going to be, like, an extreme on both sides. It's going to be either extremely good or extremely bad.
All right. And then the match for the Impact World Tag Team titles, we had the Good Brothers, we had the Bullet Clubs, Chris Bay and Hikuleo. I'm enjoying this feud because, you know, I think I heard it earlier. You know, it's basically a battle for who's the real Bullet Club.
Yeah.
You know, they both have claims to this. You know, everybody's doing the too sweet in their match picture before the match. I noticed that. You know,
it's a good feud.
Yeah, I liked the match, but it just kind of ended abruptly to me.
Right.
You know, I was watching it, and I was enjoying it, and then Bay goes for, I think he called it the ultimate finesser, and Luke Gallows grabs the legs and knocks him off, and then Carl Anderson gets on top of him and gets the 1-2-3. You know, I feel like it was kind of anticlimactic. You know, I don't think it was supposed to end there.
Yeah, it was really weird the way it ended. It just, like you said, abruptly ended. Mm-hmm. There was no build up to the ending, no for real. Like, it was no climactic moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know.
Right. And, obviously, the Good Brothers, the Tag Team Champions, is a good choice. You know, I'm actually, enjoying seeing them work by themselves. You know, no Kenny Omega, no AJ Styles. You know, just them.
Just them.
Because I think that they're definitely proven that they are a quality tag team, and they don't need that third guy, you know, kind of leading them.
Yeah, that's what I was finna say. I was finna say they need to get into their own thing again. There was one point where Gallows and Anderson, the Bullet Club, or the Club, or whichever you want to call them, were pretty much the most popular tag team in the world at one point where they were in Japan. They made a real name for themselves, and they need to get back to that era of just being these two ass-kicking.
But if I'm not mistaken, even when they were doing that, they were still a member of a faction, you know?
Yeah, but still they were the popular members, though.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It was them that was in the forefront instead. Mm-hmm. They were making the waves, having these incredible matches. Magic Killer in their way to the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel you.
And I just want them to get back to that mode.
Mm-hmm. And then Josh Alexander comes out, and he's talking about how he's still coming after Moose. And how he's going to be world champion again. And then we got the debut of Jonah.
Jonah Rock.
Yeah, it was Bronson Reed and NXT. I didn't really like Bronson Reed, to be honest with you.
I did. But, I did. And I felt like he was the type of person that the Machine loves. He's a huge guy who can move, who can sell really good. Like, he's a force. And I felt like he was a star in the making.
I definitely see where you're coming from when you say he can move. Because, you know, he lays him out. You know, Josh Alexander's bleeding eternally. He goes up top and hits that splash. I've never that seen him tsunami. Like that before, man. He was like a tank or like a jet plane or something right. Coming off them top ropes and just crashing down on top of Josh Alexander.
It seems like somebody like threw a piano off a roof.
Right. That just looked impactful.
I'm telling you, man, I've been saying it for a while. I just felt like he was the type of guy that they loved. And I thought that he was going to be moving up once he lost the North American title to Johnny Gargano. Mm-hmm. I mean, to Swerve. I thought he was moving up.
Right.
And they got rid of him, and this seems to be perfect for him.
Right. And I like this feud for Josh Alexander, too. You got to have something for him to do to, you know, kind of keep him hot until he goes back for Moose. All right, so it goes back for whoever is holding the world title. And I feel like this is a good way to bring in Jonah.
I don't think he's going to get to it anymore.
I mean, eventually I'm thinking they're going to put him back. You know, he's just not right now. And this is something for him to do to stay relevant and bring in a new person.
I feel like the business changes so often that once you get that title, like, you have to have a run with it. And if you don't have a run with it, it could take you years to get back to it. Like, ask a person like Kane. You know, he had that one day run, and how long did it take him to get back to that title again? Like, when Josh Alexander had that title, that was his moment, and now Moose has it, and now he's in a feud with Jonah, who knows how long that's going to last, and then, you know, Moose is being stalked by Sami Callihan. Like, Sami Callihan never really left the title picture.
Sami Callihan's injured, though.
But he's stalking on Twitter.
I mean, there's nothing much you can do to him for the Impact title. He's out with an injury.
But it's just ever-changing. And then with all these other releases, who knows who else is coming?
I think that they're going to have Josh Alexander get his shot at whoever's world champion at Hard to Kill. And just need to kill a little bit of time between now and then. And
Jonah is gonna murder him.
Like, I don't think so. Like, Josh Alexander is, he definitely made a fan out of me. And
a lot of people.
Either way, you know, I'm looking forward to this feud because I think it does something for them both. It's a good way to bring Jonah in. It's a good way to keep Josh Alexander's name out there.
I never really knew when I was, like, bragging on the North that both of these, that Josh Alexander would be world champion.
I think it's because, you know, we saw them as a great tag team. And, you know, we've never really seen either one of them work by themselves. You know, they were brought in together. And they went on this unstoppable run as a tag team together. You know, it's just something we got to get used to, like with Jey Uso last year. You know, something we got to get used to seeing this person as a singles competitor. Yeah, Jey
Uso had the run of a lifetime as the right-hand man.
And then the main event was Moose and Eddie Edwards, Full Metal Mayhem for the Impact World title. It's basically a match where weapons are legal. They got ladders, they got chairs, they got tables.
They got cookie sheets, they got trash cans.
What you expect. There was a lot of high spots, a lot of brawling.
Yep.
You know,
W. Morrissey comes out, interferes in the match.
Matt Cardona beats him back up.
Moose
gets the W. I'm enjoying Moose's title reign. I just, you know, I want to see it keep going. I want to see him have good feuds and people step up to him and, you know, kind of push Moose. You know, that's what I'm looking for. Somebody who I can believe is going to take the title off of him, because as of now, the way they're playing Matt Cardona and Impact, I don't see that happening. Not off Moose.
Right.
You know, maybe the GCW Matt Cardona, but not the one that's in Impact right now.
And the thing is, see, I want Moose to do a better job of getting built up, because after he lost to Rich Swann, that to me did a lot of damage, and then losing to Kenny Omega after that.
Yeah.
Did, you know, a lot to, for me, bring him down. So I'm ready for him to get, like, a huge win. And Eddie Edwards isn't that win that's going to solidify it.
I mean, it's a pretty big win.
I don't think it is.
Eddie Edwards is pretty well-respected over there in Impact Wrestling Art. He's a former world champion. He's a former X-Division champion. He's done it all in Impact.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's cool. The problem is he's done it all in Impact. We need, like, a for-real threat. I don't see Eddie Edwards as a for-real threat to Moose.
I could have seen Eddie Edwards taking the title off of him.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
And either way, it was a really good pay-per-view. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to Hard to Kill.
Yeah, it's going to be something to see, man, and to see how everything develops, especially the participants in this Ultimate X Women's match, to see who's going to challenge Moose next, to see if Deonna Purrazzo is going to really lay into Mickie James. Like, it's got a lot of depth going on right here.
Mm-hmm. All right, on to Survivor Series.
On to the Kraft Sandwich.
All right, so they started off Survivor Series
with the kickoff.
It was Damian Priest, and it was Shinsuke Nakamura, U.S. Champion versus the Intercontinental Champion.
First off, this man gonna force me to pick Raw as a side.
That's because every single time they do something like this, He likes to play both sides. Well, like this here and like that here. Like
I like, here, like I here. Like substance.
Would you pick a side, Art? You can't win, but you can't just wait for which other side wins. And he goes, "Oh, that was my side."
No, yeah. I can't. I can pick a person in each match, which he didn't allow me to do this time at all. He's just like, "You're Team Raw,
pick a because side,
I'm Art. Team SmackDown." And he was Team SmackDown. So, first off, he got the first victory because Damian Priest and Biggs.
Biggs.
Jeez, man.
It was a disqualification at that, though. Like, he didn't actually.
We started like, off the night
pinned with. Pinned Damian Priest.
They had the olive on top of the crap sandwich as a little turd, right on top. Because this was just. I am. This the disqualification thing. First off, it's already bad enough that Shinsuke had the Intercontinental title for months and people don't even realize it exists.
Yeah, they do that every time Shinsuke has a title.
They're building Damian Priest into this beast and then all of a sudden they start having him just start getting disqualified like he's losing it.
I mean, I think it's kind of a cool character twist. You know,
he's... You do?
He's violent. He's got a hot head. You know, he's unpredictable. He can't be tamed, as they say.
Okay.
I like this new twist on Damian Priest.
Well, for Survivor Series, we needed some finishes.
Yeah.
And they started off like, well, let's screw him right off the bat.
Yeah.
But Shinsuke gets the win because Damian Priest takes Boog's guitar. I'm actually surprised that he was using the Hell's Gate, for one. He's using the Hell Gate, and Shinsuke's going to sleep, and Boog start playing the guitar for the fourth or fifth time in this match after Priest warned him. And Priest slides out, breaks the guitar in half. Pat McAfee is golden on commentary because he's so bad.
You son of... What do you say?
You son of a bitch!
You son of a bitch! Something like that when he broke the guitar.
And then he hits Boogs with a piece of guitar. Shinsuke hits him and he hits Shinsuke with a guitar and then gets DQ'd.
Yeah. Team SmackDown on the board first. And then they started the pay-per-view off with Charlotte versus Becky, Raw Women's Champion versus SmackDown Women's Champion.
So excited.
And the thing about this match is, all the way through, like, we've been hearing that
like,
this
match was
on the main event.
It felt like, I don't know if this is a shoot. I don't know if this is a work. I don't know if they're fighting. But it was... Very interesting, exciting, and a great match to me.
And Becky and Charlotte were definitely pretty intense. Like, they came out throwing blows at each other. Like, and it did not slow down.
It didn't slow down at
like,
all.
Like, almost the entire match, them two just coming at each other with the shots and the chops. And, yeah,
like,
they got the
top rope moves, moonsaults. Like they was going, bro.
They were.
That's why I love the horse women. I swear.
Me too.
They are the greatest four women's wrestler of all time. I'm saying it, and I don't care. Like, people can get mad at me all they want to, but those four women, Becky, Bayley, Charlotte, and Sasha... Till the end of time or until I'm dying, I'm saying that they're the greatest, period. Every single time they get in the ring, it is exciting to me. Even if I hate the build-ups that they have or the prom or anything, like they show you once they get in that ring why they're always on top.
Well, you see, the thing of a build-up this time is most of it was online, like... Most of it was what we hear that, you know, Becky and Charlotte aren't getting along anymore. And, you know, they're at odds. And I was thinking, you know, when this match was going on, like, what if it was a work? Like, just to hype up their Survivor Series match.
Then it was some of the best
like,
work.
Like, we've been had, and I'm not even mad. I'm not even mad at him.
At all.
Like, that match was pretty good. You know, I enjoyed watching them, as I said, go back and forth. I guess even if they don't get along so well outside the ring, inside the ring, they're still magic.
It was great. It was great.
Becky
got the win because she outsmarted the queen, man. Yeah. Outsmarted the queen. Queen goes for the roll up. She puts her hand on the rope. The ref catches her. Becky reverses it, waits until the two count, and then grabs the bottom rope.
That's smart. That's definitely pretty smart. Now, Becky's been a more thinking wrestler since she came back.
Exactly. She's been outsmarting everybody. That's how she's been getting away with everything she's doing. And with the things that she yelled in the camera, you just got to go see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then there was the men's match. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Team Raw represented by Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, and Austin Theory. And Team SmackDown by Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Happy Corbin, and Sheamus. And KO, being the ultimate troll, starts the match. Begs to start the match. Like, no, let me do it through the team. And then as soon as the bell rings, he ups and leaves them. The ultimate troll move by Kevin Owens.
Yes, sir.
Walks out. So Rollins already down a man.
Yeah, this did not go the way we thought.
Really didn't. Happy Corbin's the next one out. He got pinned by Finn Balor. And then, unfortunately, King Woods is after that. He gets put out by the Hurt Lock. And I was hoping that, you know, King Woods would get a breakout performance.
Be the sole survivor.
In this Survivor Series. I was kind of hoping that they would use this to kind of propel somebody. You know, somebody beats the odds, or somebody, you know, somebody who's not already there.
Right, because this could have done that for someone.
It could have. Like, I was hoping it would be King Woods, and it was not. And then, I think I said this on last year's Survivor Series episode, and it still holds true to this day. I can't stand these damn count-outs, man. Okay, so Lashley and Drew McIntyre are outside the ring, and they're fighting and everything, and there's the ref counting away, and then I think McIntyre noticed that they were getting counted out, so he runs towards the ring, and he barely misses it, and it hits the 10 count. Like,
he gets counted out.
And so does Lashley.
And so does Lashley.
I think I said it last year. Can we just have it where they get counted out if they're not already coming back to the ring? Like, if they have no interest at all.
Oh, it gets worse later.
Of getting in the ring.
The count out gets way worse later.
We're not even gonna,
it gets way worse later.
Like I said, you know, I just wish that would be put into effect. Like, I cannot stand the race.
Okay,
the race count out. It's annoying.
Because it's like the ref sees him sliding and then goes, 10!
10! Sorry, you didn't beat the count. You lost the race. You're out. I'm right here, dude. I don't care. Jeez. But anyway, Finn Balor goes down to Sheamus later. And then Sheamus goes down to Austin Theory. And Austin Theory to Jeff Hardy. And Jeff Hardy to Seth Rollins. Team Raw with the W. What really surprised me in this match was Austin Theory. You know, I thought that Austin Theory was
going to be the first one.
Yeah, was one of them guys going to be early out. But he was in there to Raw's bottom two. And that was pretty
What surprised me about this was Jeff Hardy. Because the WWE has been screwing him over so hard.
I'm not surprised.
But his fan base is just, we were talking about it.
Jeff Hardy, in my opinion, has one of the most loyal fan bases in pro wrestling. They're not trying to hear it. You're not going to discourage, you're not going to insult Jeff Hardy and what in their presence. They're not trying to hear about how he can't wrestle. They're not trying to hear about how he's not one of the greatest high flyers to ever live.
They're not trying to hear how he's done. And you're going to put him up here one of these days, Vince, and they're going to lose it again.
Like, I get where they're coming from. You know, Jeff Hardy is a veteran, and in his own right, he is a legend.
That's not even a question.
Jeff Hardy's definitely earned the position.
And I'll say it time and time again. Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Edge and Christian have the greatest ladder match of all time.
Right.
It set the bar for all ladder matches to come.
So, you know, we're not kind of poking fun at Jeff Hardy and his accomplishments or anything. No, it's just kind of funny.
It's his fan base.
It's just kind of funny.
It's his fan base. He can get jobbed out for years.
And his fan base would defend him to the end.
Like, it's not even... And I'm still wondering why they won't run with him. Because he's still money.
He is. Like, people would...
He's still money.
People would... They still buy Jeff Hardy merchandise. They still pop extremely loud for him.
He got the biggest pop in the match.
Like, Jeff Hardy is still that guy... You know, when it comes to people, the fans like, right?
If they just let him be. That's all it takes. Just let him be that guy, and he can.
Right, most definitely. And then the next match was the Rock's 25th annual anniversary, 25-man dual branded battle royal.
Let's talk about the egg and Vince.
Oh Lord!
Because Vince just comes out of nowhere. First off, he has all these employees in the back that not on SummerSlam. He has them standing in the back to applaud him when he gets out of the limousine. Then he pulls out an egg from a movie that we haven't seen yet.
It's from The Rock's new movie.
That we haven't seen yet.
Do you remember the name of it?
No.
I think it's like Red Notice.
Red Notice, Red Note, something like that.
Hold on.
But he pulls out the egg. And then he waits for them to applaud for the egg. He's like, come on, clap. And they clap for the egg and start chanting egg.
Yeah, it's Red Notice. And it is on Netflix.
And today. I'm going to watch it today. But anyway, as with that, what kills me is he's got like T-Bar and Mace and Reginald. And the GMs and all these people back here like clapping for an egg. And then calls Roman Reigns to his office and just talks about the egg.
That segment was definitely a well-rehearsed. That segment was cringy to watch, at least for me anyway.
It was for me,
too. And watching them, just hype up Vince when he gets out of the limousine and then hype up the egg.
Oh,
you know, when he's holding the egg up. It was like, the goal here was to make people really excited about this egg because the superstars are really excited about this egg.
It missed the mark.
I don't think it worked. And then he invites
Roman that there. He's talking about the egg. And Roman's like, yeah, that's going to be as much as my net contract. And it's a $100 million egg.
$100 million, right.
Yeah, $100 million egg. And then when Sonya Deville and them is in there, he basically says that, the egg comes up missing, and now he's going to be looking for it on Raw.
I don't...
Gunner is sick of this.
I don't have words right now.
This is for this storyline. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I don't have words.
All right,
not a very big fan.
Let me just say that. I thought that's what the winner of the
that's
battle
what I was thinking.
Was
like I thought the winner was gonna get the egg. You know, I thought that's why they were hyping it up. That's why all those guys back there were excited. You know, it's like, oh wow, what if it's gonna go home with that egg?
But apparently it's just an egg that The Rock gave Vince McMahon for saying thank you for letting me work for WWE.
Yeah, it's a prop for one of his movies. It's a prop from Red Notice.
No, Vince said it's the real Cleopatra's egg.
Well, the I believe the egg is in the movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why they find the egg out.
Anyway, the battle royal, bro. The battle royal. The stupid egg. Stupid.
I didn't really enjoy this battle royal. There was not a lot of brand unity in this battle royal.
There wasn't any at all.
Like
Raw people were eliminating. Raw people, SmackDown people were eliminating. SmackDown people.
I didn't get this.
The only person with the plan
was Sami Zayn. You know, there was it was like six or seven Raw superstars left, And there's three SmackDown superstars left. I think it's Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Ricochet. And then Sami pulls them to the side. It's like, all right, guys, come on. Blue, blue, blue. And everybody else is red. There's red all around us. We need to work together. And then they let them get thrown out.
No, they beat them up.
They beat them up.
They beat them up and throw them out.
Did they throw them out?
They did. And then Omos throws out pretty much everybody.
Like, Sami Zayn was the only person that was for his brand right here, man. He's for the team. I thought that this was supposed to be, you know, this Survivor Series. It's supposed to be Raw versus SmackDown. What's going on?
Man, it seems like they really lost sight of what Survivor Series really is about.
Well, at least in these past 2 years anyway, you know, it's supposed to be brand warfare. And speaking of brand warfare, something else that kind of stuck out to me was the way Dolph Ziggler was wearing a Raw shirt and a SmackDown hat.
This is just ridiculous.
It's really getting,
they're losing touch with their audience in a bad way.
Think so?
And then they have this, but here we go with the crap sandwich again. Because the next match,
RK-Bro versus the Usos.
Here we go with the crap sandwich again, because this was a really good match.
It was. You know, the Usos always put it down with tag team.
Always. Always. And Matt Riddle is golden there. And you already know what
Randy Orton is. And speaking of Randy Orton hit a big milestone this weekend at Survivor Series. Apparently, he's had the most matches out of anybody in WWE history. Now, that does deserve a round of applause.
That does. There you go. Yeah.
Now, Randy's one of my favorites. And he's been around for a while, and he's one of the most successful WWE superstars of all time.
That 2002 wave, baby.
I'm glad to see it.
Well, I think it was the most pay-per-view matches last night.
And if he wrestles tonight on Raw, he's had the most matches on Raw, too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, great. But, yeah, like, what do you expect out of Randy, Matt Riddle, and the Usos? Nothing but greatness, man. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. That was a great match. And then, of course, the Spotlight RKO with the Us going for the Uso crazy off the top. And Randy coming in, letting Matt Riddle get splashed with it and still get the RKO.
Yeah, and then the RKO gets the win, and then Riddle's on the ground.
On the ground and still gives him thumbs up. Because he still hurt from
the splash. That was funny. That part was funny to me.
That was great. That was a great match, though.
Yeah, it was
a
good one.
They had a bunch of those moments.
All right, next was Team Raw's women versus Team SmackDown's women. Team Raw was Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina. Team SmackDown was Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm.
And, of course, they have a promo right before where Shotzi and Sasha get into it.
Yeah, they're getting in each other's face.
Of course, she's giving everybody props except Shotzi because she don't remember her name.
Roxy or Trixie or whatever. It's Shotzi. But anyway, the match kicks off with Carmella, and she's worried about the mask.
Of course.
I don't really enjoy this.
She goes outside, tries to put the mask on unsuccessfully, gets in the ring, gets a couple moves off, and wants to put the mask on again.
I don't...
And this time, she wants Shayna to put it on her, or Selena to put it on her.
Anyway.
And she gets rolled up
by Toni Storm, and then gets the 1-2-3 out the door. I don't really like the mask, to be honest with you. You know, if you're the most beautiful woman in WWE, why are you trying to cover the face?
Why doesn't she just get, like, super angry when they touch her face or something?
I guess it makes sense character-wise because, you know, you got to protect it.
Cody used to, like, let him not touch his face.
I guess it makes sense character-wise, you know, you can't touch, you know, you got to protect the face and everything.
It doesn't to me, but whatever. It's a better way to go about it.
Anyway, Queen Zelina's out next by Toni Storm, and then Toni Storm's out by Liv Morgan, and then Liv Morgan's out by Sasha Banks. Rhea Ripley by Shayna Baszler. And here's where the BS is. And I know people will say it's just because I'm a big Sasha Banks fan. No. It's not. Okay?
No, not so, this time.
So basically what happens is Sasha and Shotzi tag in at the same time, and then they start arguing about who's legal, and then they get out of the ring and they're still going to blows. Sasha hits Shayna Baszler and Natalya as she's trying to get back in the ring. And then, of course, there's the referee counting, you know, and then Sasha
slides in under the rope, and they count to 10 anyway.
She was in the ring! In the ring!
And they grabbed her legs and pull her out.
And everybody, they didn't even pull her out until she got counted out. It's not like, you know, she was outside the ring with the 10 count happened. She's in there!
With the 10 count happened.
When the 10 count happens. They kill me with these flipping count outs, man.
And Sasha gets eliminated. Yeah. And then Bianca just runs through everybody.
Well, Bianca was left four on one at that point. And
she ran through everybody. Yeah. Everybody.
Now here's the thing. Okay, I feel like at some level that Bianca kind of needed this.
She did. She does. Because
she's lost 5 women's championship matches in a row. I think that this was kind of a little bit of push, you know, to remind us that, you know, that this lady still got it. You know, she's not getting all the way pushed down the ladder.
I feel like if anybody needed this Soul Survivor, it was Liv Morgan.
Yeah, well, if they were trying to build the new star, you know, as I was hoping they would, that's what would have happened.
Which is what Survivor Series is supposed to be about.
Well, you know, when they get down to, you know, against the odds with the Survivor Series teams and the sole survivor, you know, beats those odds, you know, I would hope that it would mean something.
Moment-making
right.
Thing.
I would hope that it would mean something. You know, somebody who wasn't already there when they came in, and then they have
That's
this
how
great
the Rock debut.
They have this great Survivor Series performance, and they're even bigger now. You know, they did that with Dolph in 2014.
Bret did it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done it with Owen when he became the King of Hearts. They've done it with. I mean, Randy, he's been the Soul Survivor on several occasions.
Yeah, Randy's was like a 2 or 3 time Soul Survivor.
Several
big matches,
occasions.
Too. Like,
yeah.
I remember Survivor Series, I think it was like 2003 or 4 when it was Team Randy versus Team Triple H. And then the winning team would get to run Raw for a week.
Yeah,
Randy was Soul Survivor then. And then when they did Team Raw versus Team SmackDown in 2005. Randy was Soul Survivor then.
He was Soul Survivor when they had Bray Wyatt on
his
team.
Randy's the king of Survivor Series matches.
I'm telling you, baby, man, that's what Survivor Series is about. But it don't feel like that monumental win.
I think it was because, you know, she'd been pushed down a little bit, but Bianca Belair is still made in the shade, as they say.
Yeah, she's already, I just feel like she's made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like that moment belongs to the up-and-comers. Like, those moments belong to those up-and-comers or the people who need reestablishing. And Bianca kind of did need
That's what I'm saying. You know, she did kind of need this moment a little.
Yeah.
But, you know, not all the way. All
right.
You know? Yeah. And then the main event.
Yep.
Roman Reigns versus Big E.
Which was a great story.
It was a great story. It was a great match. They do it to me. They did it to me again. I swear to God, they love to play with my emotions. They did it again.
I told you.
Because I'm sitting there at home match thinking, oh my goodness, they're going to give it to him. Big E is about to win this match, and it's going to be so huge for him. He's going to be even more established. And
it's not that time.
And the Tribal Chief, man, he's unbeatable.
I've been trying to tell you that this man is not going to get pinned, and whoever pinned him, it's going to be super made.
Unless it happens to somebody who already is. That seems to be the trend in wrestling these days. I'm just praying to God
that it ain't like a return. Like it ain't a Brock Lesnar or a Goldberg.
If he faces The Rock, I'm hoping he beats The Rock in WrestleMania.
God forbid it's The Rock, bro. Because we know that's going to be like Rock ain't real. When Rock come back, he do have his runs like a Brock Lesnar do. But I'm just saying, we all know it's a part-time thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And we need somebody to be made like Drew was off of
Brock. Yeah, that's true. That's true. If it did it last year with Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Brock was unbeatable up to that point.
And they did a really good job telling the story, too. Like in the Royal Rumble, you know, Brock's in there throwing everybody out. And Drew's the person to come in there and kick him out. You know, that was a good way to start it off. And he wins the Royal Rumble. And then he beats Brock. You know, that was a star-making moment. You know, they did it that time.
Now, I wouldn't even be mad if they did a real resurgence. Like a Jeff Hardy or a Dolph Ziggler or somebody that's really been down bad. And got to be reminded of how much of a legend they really are.
I feel that.
Like, I wouldn't even be mad at that. But please don't. Don't fucking bring Taker back and, like, have him beat the Tribal. Come on, dude.
I doubt that. I really do. I think Taker's finished.
Let's not do that trend. Let's not do that.
Yeah, you know, I've made this case for all the big world champions that we've had this year. People like Kenny Omega and, you know, Charlotte Flair, which you did the last year. You know, when she had the NXT women's title.
Right, they keep giving them nonsensical losses to where somebody that doesn't need the win beats them that's already super established and already super popular or super hated. Like, let's give it to somebody who needs it. Like, imagine if there was Jungle Boy that would have took that title off Kenny Omega. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But
When they did it the most, like Moose would be an even bigger star right now than he already is if he'd been the one to take it off Omega or even Christian Cage for that matter.
Exactly, but instead, that's what I'm saying. The up and comer needs to be the one because they did it the perfect way with Hangman.
They did. That was great.
Perfect. Yeah. Like that storyline had been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it came full circle from the tag team to the split up to the dark order to like the whole nine yards. That came all the way full circle. That's what we need with Roman Reigns. We need a Jimmy Uso or a Jey Uso.
Yeah, I feel you.
To come all the way around from being picked on to being behind them to being betrayed to being down and out to coming all the way back around to being a solo star.
Like if that happened. And maybe Jey Uso, anyways, you know, Jey does have some credibility as a single superstar. I mean, he is the reigning Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner.
I'm just throwing it out there. Just don't do the part-time thing.
But anyway, all in all, Survivor Series, it was okay for me.
It was good to me. You know, it had its good moments.
And it had its bad moments.
It was what you deemed it.
A crap sandwich.
It was what you deemed it. It was a crap sandwich. It made us mad. It made us so happy in the beginning, made us so mad throughout the middle, and then made us happy and disappointed at the end.
Yeah.
Just like a crap sandwich. And on that note, tell them where to reach you, bro.
Matt Lindsay on Facebook, Matt Lindsay 677 on Instagram.
R-Dog1 on Instagram, R-Dog3 on Twitter, and Arthur Quinn on Facebook. Forget the Gmail, because y'all ain't going to hit it anyway. This is the Sons of Legends, and we will be right back at y'all next week. We'll holla back.